welcome to the QU Media Podcast. Tonight, alongside me is redshirt junior Josie Erickson with the QU Women's Soccer Team, and I'm your host, Jay Hamill. Tonight, we'll be hanging out and discussing Josie's experience with COVID and how being locked up in quarantine affected her mentally and physically. To start off tonight, Josie, what was your initial reaction to COVID-19 back in March?
Back in March, I initially thought COVID was all a joke. To be completely honest, I remember hearing about it at the start in January. And then I went on spring break with my friends in March, and we were laughing about it. We were just saying, haha, like COVID, like we're invincible, like it's all a joke. We didn't believe it. And then it was our ride home from spring break that we started getting emails from our school about how serious this whole thing was. And we were all kind of taken back because we had no idea that this whole thing was such a big ordeal. And it wasn't till a couple days later that they told us we would be postponing school for another week. And then we found out that it would eventually be our whole rest of the semester. So it was a whole 180 for me. I had no idea that this little thing that was a joke to us would have turned into something so serious. And I wish that all of us thought it was a serious issue back at the start, because it makes me wonder if we would have taken this whole thing more seriously, if it would have spread the way that it did, and if it would have affected our lives the way that it did.
All right. Who do you remember the first person that you knew that had COVID? Like for me, it was NBA star from the Utah Jazz, Rudy Gobert. He was in a press conference and he was touching a bunch of mics, joking around about it like you. Do you know who first had it in your life?
Well, my neighbor at the time, she was studying abroad in Australia, and she had to come home, which meant that she had to go into the airports, obviously. And it was the very beginning. She came home, and she didn't get it from being in Australia, but just being in the airport is what brought it home to her. And she had it, and she had no symptoms. And then I remember it was a couple weeks later. I'm a big fan of The Bachelor, and the last year's season's Bachelor got diagnosed with COVID, and he was one of the first people. His name is Colton, and he vlogged and posted videos of his experience, and he was staying at his fiance's house at the time, and he just talked about how bad, like, he played in the NFL, and he was this major athlete, and he was really affected by it, and that's when it kind of hit me that this disease, this terrible thing that we're dealing with does not impact every person the same way, and that's when it was kind of eye-opening for me to compare my neighbor's experience to seeing someone famous and just hearing everyone's different perspectives on this disease.
So 7 months later, you've now recovered from this virus, and you've also gotten your 2020 fall season taken away from soccer. Kind of explain what that's been like and what this fall semester has been like being a student athlete here at QU.
Well, there's a lot that I can say on that. So yeah, I've been back at school for a little over 3 weeks, almost four. And I did test positive for COVID-19. My roommates and I all had to quarantine, unfortunately, along with like half of the rest of my team. It was a huge bummer because when we got to school, obviously our season was stripped away from us, and we were told that maybe we would have a spring season. Things are looking up for that now. But yeah, we got here and we worked so hard. We came and we did fitness and we ran every day, and we did the return to play protocols that our conference has in place for us, which every week is a different level of soccer. So the first week was non-contact. The second week was a little bit of contact. And then the third week was full contact. So we made it through all the stages, and then right after we made it through, bam, COVID hit our team, and it hit us hard, and I was back to square one, which really upset me because that meant I couldn't do any physical activity for not only the 10 days that I was quarantined, but another 10 days after that for our return to play protocol. And then that also meant that all of the fitness that I had just worked so hard on for the first couple weeks just kind of went away. And that really, that was really hard going through.
I gotcha. So let's travel back to when you first had COVID. Kind of explain the symptoms you had and then your experience with your two options, the quarantine, where to quarantine at, and then how did it affect you mentally as well?
So one of my roommates initially had symptoms. So we all went and got tested in this little drive-through test center. And our dean of students called us and told us that we were exposed and that we had to quarantine, and we had two options: to either go home and social distance at home, or they have dorms in place for us at the North Campus here at QU, and they allow us to live there if we can't go home. It was kind of a no-brainer for me that I wanted to go home, even though my family did not want me to come home. I just really hated the idea of potentially being sick or being in quarantine completely by myself and with no human contact whatsoever. So I did make the decision to go home, and my parents were not thrilled about it because this disease that has killed so many people, I could have potentially been infected with, and they just did not want that coming into my house. And that was mentally very challenging for me because I hadn't seen my family at this time in a couple weeks, and I missed them. And it's hard because you just feel like this giant germ that you just want to go home and love your family and love on your dogs, and you can't because you are infected. And even though it didn't affect me in a way that it affects other people, you still have to be careful who you are around and who you could possibly be infecting. And my symptoms when I had COVID were very minimal. I was very lucky and fortunate. I just was very hot, and I didn't even have a fever, but I was really hot when I was sleeping. And I woke up and I had horrible headaches, could not sleep. It was terrible. And then that was pretty much it, just a little fatigued. And then about day 3 or 4, I lost my taste and smell, which was the weirdest part of it. Other than that, it was just like a typical head cold, was a little congested. And then I'm all over the place. And then once I was home, found out I was positive. So I ended up living in a little bubble, and that's where I was, away from my family. So.
Wow. What an experience that is. You can look back on here in 20, 30 years and tell your kids and maybe grandkids even. Would you say that the virus was more serious back in March, or would you say it's more serious still now affecting all that's going on? 'Cause back in March, could you even imagine having it? And then now you've had it, your season's taken away, and now you've had 3 inter-squad scrimmages. So how do you think it is right now? Obviously, it's still changing the fall semester and even the future 2021 academic schedule, but what are your thoughts on that?
I feel like the mentality is totally different now than it was back in March. When COVID first happened, obviously, we all thought it was a joke, and then we found out how serious it was. So it was all kind of a shock to us, and we were all quarantined and all social distancing. And I feel like now I feel like it is just as serious. I don't feel like we treat it like it is as serious. I feel like we're all just so used to it, and we're used to getting out of the car and putting our masks on before we do things. And it's just kind of become a way of life for us. Who's to know what is to come of this virus? I don't know when it's going to end. I hope it ends soon. But your question on if I think it's more serious now or than it was in March, I do think it's about the same. It's still affecting our lives. I just think that now we're just more used to it. and we're more accustomed to how we have to precaution ourselves and how we have to stay safe.
Interesting. Overall, how do you think QU has made this place safe this fall and has handled COVID-19 as cases continue to rise and teams continue to be put into quarantine?
I think that in the big picture, QU has done a great job of trying to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Obviously, this is such an unknown territory for us, so we don't know what is the perfect way to prevent this virus from spreading. But overall, we found out over the summer that we had to have a certain amount of masks with us at all times. We had to have sanitizer. We have to wear masks when we're in class, obviously, if they're not online, because a lot of professors have actually moved their courses online. Some of professors have made their classes flipped. And the classes that are face-to-face, they're really working about social distancing. There are marks on the desks and on the floor where students are able to sit. And I think that has been huge for us because it is forcing us to keep our distance and to keep away from people, which ideally is the best way to prevent the disease from spreading. Like me personally, when I got COVID, nobody that I'm aware of that sat anywhere near me in class had to quarantine as well, because we were doing such a good job of keeping distance, keeping masked, sanitizing after and before class. And even the professors, they stay up behind their podium during the entire class and they keep their masks on as well. Everything that we're doing is, in my opinion, very beneficial. And I'm sure other places, other universities, other schools, they're all doing things differently. And I hope that we're learning and continuing to grow with this virus and as it continues to affect our lives. But yeah, for the most part, I do think our university is handling everything well.
All right. Where do you live out on campus?
I live in the Student Living Center, commonly known as SLC.
Student Living Center. And you have two roommates. So kind of explain to the audience what the guidelines and protocols are living within those roommates and the surrounding people above you and aside from you.
So,
because I know there's no guests allowed and stuff like that. So,
yeah. So, our school is actually being very strict about COVID, and I personally believe that they should be, just because, in the dorms, I'm meaning, yeah. So, obviously, nobody is allowed to have guests in their rooms outside of the Student Living Center. So, for example, if I wanted to have a younger teammate over on my team for dinner, or if I wanted to have anyone else over, that wouldn't be allowed. And our school is actually monitoring the cameras in SLC, which has been very different, because I feel like they normally don't monitor those as well. But they've been keeping a close eye on who is coming in and out of SLC, and also they're navigating who is wearing a mask and who is not. The new rule for SLC this year, and if you ever come into SLC, you'll see there's a giant poster on the wall when you walk in, and it just has all these different guidelines for COVID. And the first one says, wear your mask. It is required. It's not optional when you come into SLC, no matter if you're going to do laundry, no matter if you're going to sit in the main room, if you're coming out to throw something away, a mask always has to be on your face. And that is something that they have really enforced. And I think it is a good thing that they have enforced this, because we've had a lot of athletes, we've had a lot of students that have tested positive, and just knowing that they've been in the same building, touched the same door handles, breathed the same air as all those other people that live there, it makes everyone feel a whole lot more safe knowing that they wear masks and they were taking the necessary precautions that our school enforces so well. So I think it does make everyone safer. It is a weird experience. Never has anyone experienced anything like this, but it's especially weird in college because you're so used to a certain culture and you're so used to being around all these people all the time. And it's hard. It's hard mentally to just wrap your head around that. So
definitely, I definitely say that. No friends allowed for a movie night or maybe The Bachelor. Guideline number one, no friends allowed in the room. Let's move on to the CAF. How has that social life been and just hanging out in the CAF usually without COVID? And now what? The CAF's not even open to in-dining seating. So kind of tell everyone about how that's like.
So I'm very lucky that I have a kitchen in my room, so I don't have to go to the CAF as much as a lot of other students. So I do feel very bad for a lot of the other students at our school because, like you said, the CAF is only open for to-go meals. So there is to-go boxes, and you walk in and you swipe your meal. And then, which you don't even swipe your card anymore because that is unsanitary. There is now a scanner that just detects your card and doesn't even have to touch the scanner. So that is now COVID-friendly. But then as you walk in, you'll get your to-go box, and there is not as many options, which I think a lot of people are upset about because normally there's a salad bar, there is still a sandwich bar, but there's a pizza bar, there's ice cream, there's all these things that really make your money worth it when you spend a CAF dollar. But it is socially hard because the CAF is the place where you see a lot of familiar faces. You get to know who is at your school, who goes to your school. Even if you don't ever talk to somebody, you still know who they are because they're a familiar face that you see in the CAF every day. And I think that's hard because now, like me, I'm a senior, well, redshirt junior. But I don't know a lot of the younger students here at our university because I simply don't see them. I don't see them in social settings, I don't see them at the CAF. I don't see them in classes because I'm with all upperclassmen at this point. So it's just weird how you don't realize simple things like sitting in a cafeteria affect your life and affect everyone socially.
Definitely, I would definitely agree with that. It's weird that this freshman class And last year's class, they didn't get to experience that socially encounter. In the CAF, maybe having dessert in between classes or what it may be. But let's talk about the third thing that it's really eliminated, and that's fans at sporting events. You know, despite all the seasons getting canceled, we were able to have graduation. However, there was no homecoming. There's no volleyball, football, soccer season. What's that atmosphere been like? How are we going to, you know, do this in the spring when all the sports are playing, you know?
It's been very sad. It's been very hard just to see all these athletes grinding and working so hard, but, there isn't really anything as of right now close that we're working for. Like the soccer team, we're all so excited now because we just finally got our spring schedule and we have hope for the spring and we have hope for the games, but it's hard when the goal is so far ahead of you. We continue to work and lift and run every day at practice, but sometimes it's like, gosh, like we're doing all this and then we're going to go home for Christmas break and then still have a couple weeks and then we're not even going to have games at that point yet. It's just a hard mentality, and it's hard to see other athletes going through the same thing because normally if I wasn't having games, then I'd go to a baseball game because that's just the culture. There's always a sporting event going on. That's the big culture here at QU and small campuses because that's what you do. There's not a lot to do in this small town. So I do think it's very sad just knowing all these athletes aren't getting to play, knowing all these fans aren't getting to play. And fans aren't going to play, fans to attend. but It's just a different environment, and it is sad that we're getting used to it. I wish we weren't getting used to it, because I have hope that things are going to get better, and I hope that next year and next semester brings us a little bit more normal things, but we don't know. So I would say it's kind of sad, but our school has done a good job of trying to create opportunities and activities that allow students to get together. We have different competitions. They had a giant bowl on campus the other day. Obviously, social distancing is happening at these events, but it is a good way to show your face and get to know other people at the university without going to sporting events or being at a sporting event and seeing fans and all that good stuff.
Now, I kind of touched base on this earlier. As of today, actually, you guys would have been 9 games into your fall season, and now you're only 3 inter-squads in, with you guys playing every Sunday. How do you guys stay motivated, and what have those inter-squads been like? What's the team like? Kind of touch base on that.
So our coach, we actually have a new coach this year. He has done a great job of keeping us motivated. In my opinion, he every week he sends out different things, different rosters for the weekend. And something that we're doing, which is kind of fun with our team, is so every week we're on a different inter-squad team or scrimmage team, as we call it. And so, like, the first week I was on black team, and then the second week I was black team, and then the third week I was white team. So every week, depending on whoever the winning team is, each person individually gets a point for if they win. So as of right now, my team won the first two games, or yeah, my team won the first two games, so I have 2 points individually. So it's all individually a competition, and we're working. We don't know what the prize is at the end, but it's going to be fun, because even though we're working with our inter-squad teams for that weekend, we still have motivation to win and to do good, because we want to be that number one person on the team who has the most wins and points. So that's something cool that my coach has been doing. And another thing that I think has really helped us is nothing is too mentally or physically draining. We have Tuesdays and Fridays off of soccer, and then Monday is our Monday fun day, as we call it. So we do bowling, we do mini golf, we do different activities, and like yesterday we did pumpkin painting, which was really fun, and it's just ways to relieve stress that allow us to get the team together and allow us to become closer without the stress of soccer, because sometimes it becomes a lot when you're working really hard and you don't have games to be working for. And yes, we love the scrimmages and we love playing against each other, but there's nothing that beats a feeling of playing a rival team on a Sunday afternoon and winning, and just knowing that you're going to have another game next weekend to grind for. It's just a different environment, and I think we're doing a good job of staying motivated, even though it is hard sometimes.
Here in about a month, actually, exactly, we'll be getting sent home for winter break. And this year's, it's a bit different. We're getting sent home, I think, November 19th through the 24th is finals week. So anytime after that, and we'll be reporting back in late January. So as a soccer player and having your season pushed toward the spring, what do you plan to do within those next couple months, few months, to stay in shape and come back prepared to play?
So playing soccer in the spring is not something that is totally unfamiliar with me and a lot of other athletes on my team. All of high school, soccer for me is a spring sport. So we'd always play the same season as baseball and lacrosse and all other spring sports. And it wasn't until college that I was a fall athlete. So NCAA and college athletics kind of flip-flops things from high school. So to stay in shape, what I normally do is either go to a gym and run or run outside. Obviously, we do not have access to gyms like we normally do. I believe gyms will be open Christmas break by my house, but I don't know. I canceled all my memberships for them because of COVID. So my hope right now is to just continue to run outside until I can't anymore. Typically when we have breaks, whether it's summer break or spring break or fall break or anything, our coaches send us fitness packets. We have a girl on our team whose mom is a fitness instructor. So a lot of times over quarantine and over summer, she tuned in with us and she would do workouts with us. They also send something that has been really helpful for us because we've had so many ACL injuries and tears on our team. They send us our ACL prevention programs that we can continue to do over break. And that has been huge for us because tearing your ACL, as many know, is one of the most devastating things you can do as a female athlete or any athlete to that extent. So they send us those. They send us home with our bands that we all have been assigned, which help us strengthen our knees and strengthen our legs for when we don't have access to weights. And typically they'll also send us with body weight exercises so that we can simply do a workout in our bedroom just to get a good sweat in when we can't go outside if it's too cold. They also send us with like ab exercises and a lot of stuff that helps keep us physically fit. I think personally I'm going to continue to try to eat healthier and just not let all of my hard work go to waste because this fall semester has been a grind and I am so excited for this season. And I just don't want to waste everything that I've just done for the past 3 months this semester. And I do think it's going to be hard and it's going to be a challenge to see who steps up to the plate and who continues to work over the 11 weeks that we are home. And I hope that I can continue to stay in shape because when we do get back to campus, my coach gives us a beep test and other fitness tests, which I don't know how that will work in the winter. But we're hoping for one of those years where winter is a little bit warmer. So we don't know what it's going to completely look like.
Now, kind of to wrap up this podcast tonight, I'm going to end it with, if you could go back in March and tell yourself anything, to where you're at this point now, what would it be? And kind of explain the advice you'd give yourself and maybe even peers around you in getting through this worldwide pandemic together.
I would just tell myself to not give up and to have hope no matter what. I know it's hard because we always thought initially that this was going to be just a quick little virus. And I would also tell myself to appreciate the small things in life. Like personally, looking back, quarantine, yes, it was weird. Yes, it was a different experience for us all. But I have a lot of fun memories from the summer and from quarantine. And I learned to appreciate all the people in my life that I'm close to. I never have spent so much time with my family one-on-one because we were trapped in our house together. And we bonded, we played games, we did all these things that we would never have done if we weren't in quarantine. So I just learned to appreciate that and appreciate the people that I'm around. And I also learned to appreciate the people that aren't around me all the time and people that I take for granted and things that I take for granted simply as going to the store. Like my grandparents, they can't go to the store anymore, and that is a huge deal for them. They have to pay somebody to come to their house and to go grocery shopping for them. It is a huge ordeal. So I would just give myself the advice to never take anything for granted and to enjoy the people that are around you and the people that aren't around you all the time, because you never know when another pandemic can come and when life can just change like that, like a flip of a light switch. Because none of us would have saw this coming come a year ago and it has really changed our lives, everyone's lives. So that's about it.
Absolutely. I think that'll conclude our podcast tonight. I appreciate you coming on and talking with me, and I wish you nothing but the best the rest of this fall semester and your spring season.
Thank you so much. You as well.
Thank you.